Hey team, welcome back to the show. Today it is Coach Andrea and I with part two of the Building Phases for Women series. And here we're going to be talking about the two different types of building phases at maintenance versus building phases in a surplus, and how to decide which is the best fit for you. This is an important topic because I think a lot of times when people think of building phases, they only think of like a quote unquote bulking phase, right? Where it's, I gain a lot of body fat. I just force feed as much food as I can. And at the end of it, I have like 20 to 30 pounds to lose. And again, I just like see myself kind of blow up where no matter what, like that's not the way we approach a building phase. But it's important to understand that, again, depending on what type of building phase we're doing, we might not even be seeing like much body fat gain, if any at all. Right. So again, it's going to be very specific to where you're at and what is the best fit for you. But in this episode, we'll really dig into, again, the two different types of building phases, who they're a good fit for, how to decide which is the best fit for you. Anything else to add there before we get into it?
I mean, just reiterating what you were saying with the bulking phases, it almost seems like the old school way of how guys did a muscle gaining phase where like we're just gonna drink a gallon of milk a day and just chocolate like get milk. Really soft. Yeah. And so I think that that stereotype of a building phase or bulking phase holds a lot of women back from doing a building phase. Because, I mean, we can talk through how it's different now, but without getting in detail like we're going to in this episode and really explaining the difference, it's just still a scary thing to get into. Yeah. Because like we had that question that we addressed last week of, I'm scared if I eat more food, it's not going to translate over into my training. And I think that a lot of people kind of have that. A lot of women have that in the back of their mind. Like, okay, but if I eat more, how is that even going to help? Like, I'm just going to gain fat. And that might be the experience that they've had in the past. So I think this will be super helpful for anybody that's either been in that situation before or just been way too nervous to even try a building phase. Because there's a lot of ways that you can do it so much better to really like your look at the end of it, and even improve your body composition depending on the phase that you're in.
Absolutely. We have so many client examples too of, especially again, the first type of building phase specifically. So again, maintenance building phase type one, let's call this the lean gains phase / maintenance building phase, or let's call it lean building phase. And then we have a surplus building phase, which would be an advanced building phase. With that first type, which we use a lot more frequently, I think that a lot less people are a good fit for that advanced building phase than think they are. With that first type, a lot of times, almost always, we'll just, if we do it right, which we will do it right, but if you're doing it right and you're doing it on your own, your body composition should improve. So let's get into that lean building phase / building at maintenance phase first and kind of clearly define this, talk through who is a good fit for, things of that nature. So first, Andrea, talk us through, what is this? Like, what is this phase?
It's pretty self-explanatory by its name of maintenance building phase. You're eating at maintenance, so we're not really looking for the weight on the scale to change too much. Mm-hmm. It might slowly over time drift a little bit, just because we are building muscle tissue, but for the most part we're just looking to eat at maintenance calories. We're not looking to push at any certain rate for the scale. Once we finish the reverse diet after a deficit phase, which is typically when we'll get into these, which is why I'm saying that, we'll just slowly build calories up through the reverse diet. Once that point comes where if we pushed food any higher, then we would start to see a rate of gain at a consistent rate. Instead of pushing food, we just hold there. And really then the nutrition becomes supportive and we're focusing on the training being the main stimulus. So we're maybe pushing the intensity a little bit higher in training by adding intensifications like drop sets or lengthened partials or things like that. And really letting that be the driver of changes in body comp. And so we really want the pounds that you're lifting to be going up over time. So we have like metric based lifts, for example. We want to make sure that we're getting stronger. We want to make sure that we're not losing weight. We're feeling well-fed, have good energy, and that those things are good indicators that we're building muscle over time.
Okay. Yeah. So to sum this up, because we're going to get a little bit deeper into each of those points in just a moment, to kind of sum it up, we're building that maintenance, right? So you aren't in a calorie surplus. There is a common myth that, hey, we need to be eating in a calorie surplus to build muscle. Not true at all. Fat loss and fat gain and muscle growth are two entirely separate processes that have different demands and require a different signal, a different stimulus to create, right? We can build muscle in deficit. It's very well proven. Really, as long as we have adequate nitrogen, basically adequate protein and the amino acids that we need, and we have a proper training stimulus, we can build muscle in a deficit and at maintenance or in a surplus. And really, a lot of times, again, this is going to be a much more common route that we will take with clients. We can definitely still make great progress here. And again, this is a cool phase to be in. It's not the best fit for everyone, but for a lot of people, because again, if we're just maintaining body fat here, which we typically are, and you are adding muscle to your frame, again, the ratio of fat mass to lean mass is improving and your body fat percentage will decrease. You'll look leaner, you'll look more muscular, you'll have more shape. So what makes someone a good fit for this type of building phase?
I will put someone in a maintenance building phase rather than a surplus whenever they are a little bit newer to pushing hard enough in training, just because there's going to be more runway there for them to build efficiently still without actually needing to be in a surplus. Another person that is a good fit for this phase is we could still stand to be a little bit leaner just to feel more comfortable. So if somebody still has a little bit more body fat than they want, then usually we wouldn't want to put them into a surplus. And so just recomping, or they're not ready for a fat loss phase, or we've just come out of a fat loss phase, then a building phase at maintenance is going to be a better fit than going into a surplus.
Absolutely. Yeah. I think there are so many people who, again, this applies to. Like if you are someone who is scared to eat a lot of food, which is extremely common, again, the idea of like, and again, like oftentimes for that individual, also like going into that advanced building phase in a surplus wouldn't be more beneficial, because it's pretty rare in that situation that like, hey, we've been fueling ourselves well for a very long period of time. The training stimulus that we need is in place. You're great at like training hard and you've already built a lot of muscle. It's very rare that those two things go hand in hand. So almost always, this is going to be a better fit for that type of person, both psychologically and physiologically. If you aren't someone who is great at training hard already, right? And you haven't already built a good amount of muscle, and those are two big things that we're typically looking for as well, right? If you're not already training hard, as we mentioned, the training stimulus is a signal for muscle growth. The food is just supportive of it. But if we're not training hard and we're just pouring on more and more food, again, like that analogy of training's the gas pedal, nutrition's the fuel in the tank, we're kind of just overflowing that fuel tank by just putting in more and more fuel, but we're not really pushing the pedal hard enough to actually use any of it to build new tissue. And that is where people see, oh, wow, I just gained a lot of body fat in this phase versus adding a lot of muscle and seeing my body comp change. So in a situation like that, it'd be much better to keep someone at maintenance as well, really focus on dialing in the training. And from there, again, as that improves over time, then we could talk about potentially moving into a different phase. But there, again, we can see like that recomp. And again, most people that we work with are going to be a better fit here. What biofeedback markers are we typically looking for to ensure someone is a good fit for this phase? So like, say we're going into this phase, you're looking at, okay, I want to make sure these things are in place, or these are key things that we want to improve to make this phase productive. Does that question make sense?
Yeah. So are you looking for things that are unique in this versus a surplus building phase?
No, not necessarily.
Okay. Because these are going to be the same. The ones that I have in mind are the same for either. We want good digestion, because if your digestion is poor, then you're not going to be assimilating nutrients very well. And you can end up with like nutrient deficiencies or really just not putting the food to good use. I was a really good example of this before I went through that whole health phase. So if you have a lot of like bloat or just loose stools or constipation, either direction, that's probably a good sign that needs addressed first, if that's not something that you've looked into before going into a building phase. Alongside that, good sleep is really important here because sleep is where you're repairing and recovering. So if you aren't getting good sleep, either good quality sleep or just enough hours, then that needs to be improved so that you can efficiently gain muscle. And even with maintenance, this depends a lot on the person, but some people are still going to have a good amount of hunger at maintenance intake. Mm-hmm. And if you're not sleeping well, that becomes even higher. And yeah. Then you're just at risk of overeating and gaining body fat more than you would want.
Yeah. I was going to bring up hunger as well, because I think that's kind of there's a lot of inter-individual difference with hunger. As you mentioned, some people at maintenance truly will just have a little bit higher hunger. But if you're in a place where it's like, I recently ended a diet and hunger is still extremely high, oftentimes that's a sign that, hey, we might not actually be at your true maintenance yet, or we might be. And again, maybe it just takes a little bit more time. Again, like there's kind of two components. There's a lot of components when it comes to reducing hunger. Like your food selection is a very important part of this, right? So I'm more so speaking to someone who we've already worked with for a long period of time. If someone comes in and like hunger is extremely high and we're truly at maintenance, a lot of times it's just we need to improve food selection. Mm-hmm. But if it is like, hey, we recently ended a diet and we got extremely lean and hunger is still very high, there might actually be a component of we need to gain a little bit more body fat to get your body back to a healthy body fat level where we're in a good place to build before we're actually entering like a building phase. So thus, like it might not be a good idea for us to just hang out at this maintenance. And no matter what, like in this build, and in a future episode, we're also going to talk about making adjustments in these phases. So I don't want to get too far ahead of ourselves there. But no matter what, we're typically going to be like slowly kind of ramping calories up. Your maintenance will slowly increase your overtime as well. But that was a good one as well. Hunger is typically one we're looking at. Who might not be a good fit for this phase?
Well, I have a couple more on the previous question too.
Sure, my bad. Go ahead.
That's okay. So energy and adherence are two more that I would want to make sure are good there. Adherence isn't technically a biofeedback marker, but it's still super important here. So energy, if your energy isn't great, then you probably just are internally, there's something going on. And then adherence, if you're not able to actually stick to your diet, then there's just more groundwork to be laid at maintenance before you really start pushing things.
Absolutely. I think we mentioned this in the last episode as well, but as we work with mostly women, your menstrual cycle is also going to be an important marker there.
Right. Yeah.
Where, again, like if your menstrual cycle, if you're not having a consistent cycle, or if it's missing altogether, oftentimes, again, kind of think of that as like a monthly report card for your health, right? And a lot of times it's going to indicate that your sex hormones specifically aren't going to be in the best place. And for us to productively build, we are going to want your sex hormones to be in a good place. Now, how we address that will vary, right? Maybe it is just a matter of we do need to consistently eat more food. And it's not to say like we can't train hard here. It will depend on the person, right? But I use the example of like, I think in the last episode, I used the example of Lexi, my client Lexi in her health phase, where for her, we did have to really, to get her cycle back to a consistent place, we did really have to pull back her training to where she was just training 3 days a week. Everything was like 3 to 4 reps in the tank for a couple months in order for us to restore her cycle. And now like things are in a great place there, but that's another important variable to look at. Okay, now who might not be a good fit for this phase?
So if you are the person who has been training hard consistently for a longer period of time, and you have maxed out your potential to recomp at maintenance, because that's at some point it becomes such a slow process that it's just not worth it time-wise anymore. Mm-hmm. And so you would be the type of person who would be better off just getting into a surplus.
Yeah.
Rather than just trying to forever recomp at maintenance. We talk a lot about the people who have been just trying for forever to recomp at maintenance. And a lot of that is just that they don't have a lot of things dialed in. But if you've already had those things dialed in and you've seen some good recomp and then things just sort of seem to have halted, you're probably just at that closer to that ceiling where you need to move a little bit more aggressively.
Absolutely.
Yeah, go ahead.
I was going to say, I think you, Natalie, Cass, I think are all pretty good examples of that.
You're almost there.
Right. Where it's like a, Sorry, say that one more time.
I said you're almost there.
This is building phases for women, so I was going to keep it specific to y'all, but I am the most jacked out of anyone here. So that's actually not true. But you guys are all great examples of that, where for you to, you could still build muscle at maintenance, right? But the reality is, when we do have a surplus, again, when we're very good at training, when we're pushing it, and I had a podcast with Jeff Hain and Brandon DeCruz a while back, where Brandon was talking through like some of the recent research where they showed like even building at maintenance versus a surplus, like the difference in muscle gain was so small, which again is like more and more true as far as like how aggressively I think people need to build. But still, for someone who is more advanced, again, muscle protein synthesis will be slightly more elevated even in a surplus versus at maintenance. Now, again, there's going to be a time period where it's like, for a lot of people, I think the trade-off of like what we gain from being in a surplus versus like what that, the pros and cons don't necessarily make sense. But when we are more advanced and it's, hey, we kind of need every single like little dial turned in our favor to make progress because rate of progress is so much slower. So again, like you or Natalie or Tass, then it's typically going to be like, hey, if we try to continue to do this at maintenance past a certain time point, it's just going to be such a slow process. Over the course of a year or 2 years, we'll make so much quicker progress if we, let's say, for 18 months of that 2 year stretch are just focusing on building and keeping it in a very controlled manner, but we probably are in a surplus most of the time. And then maybe like 6 months of fat loss within that, we'll have made a lot quicker progress there than if we spent the entire time at maintenance. But again, that is not true for a lot of people, but definitely if you are more advanced, I think it is, again, so easy. As you said, like that person, and this is something I've changed my tune on quite a bit, I think even in the last couple of years, like that person who is like constantly trying to recomp at maintenance, if you are someone who like you've already built a lot of muscle, you've already gained a lot of muscle relative to where you started, and you've truly been training very well, fueling yourself well, et cetera, probably not going to make a ton of progress there. But honestly, for, as you said, for most people, it is just a matter of, hey, the actual training stimulus we needed just isn't in place, right? We work with so many people who, even again, like clients coming from like, hey, I've competed in bodybuilding shows and things of that nature in the background or in the past, like still so often just have never had like someone work with them very hands-on with their training. It's almost always like, hey, here's kind of a random program and I'll send you another random program in 4 to 8 weeks. We never really talk about it, get into it, to where there's almost always so much left on the table as far as training. That again, I think that first type of phase is a good fit for a lot of people. Anything else to add there?
Yes. So you kind of mentioned this, but people who haven't been, who still aren't training hard enough, they aren't, I mean, you can, there's no harm in being at maintenance. So we're not going into a surplus yet, but, you're just not going to see much change if you're not training hard enough. That's an essential component, because that is the stimulus for change here. Cause we're not playing with calories up or down at this point.
Right. Right. And that's, again, like a lot of times for a lot of clients who are in a place where it's like, hey, we're not training nearly hard enough yet. It's important to understand, like, even we might still like, hey, we're focusing on building. We also have to make sure it's clear. We're not going to see much progress until we see some improvement in this aspect that we are pushing harder here. Okay.
Last one I would add there is if you are on a timeline. So if you want to do a photo shoot or a show or something like that in within the next year or even a couple of years, then you're just going to be building, you know, assuming that training intensity is there and all the other variables are there, you're just going to build a little bit quicker if you're in a slight surplus. And so you'll see a more significant change once you go into that deficit phase later on, if you get into a little bit of a surplus.
That's a really good insight. Yeah, that's, I like that. And again, that's, we would want to make sure that the training intensity is there. But yeah, that's true, right? Where we will build, as I mentioned, we will still see a little bit quicker progress in a true, in like that more advanced building phase where we're in a surplus. Again, just, I think that there are a lot of situations where it's like, hey, that like minor edge isn't worth it to me. Or again, the training isn't in place, but that's a great point. Yeah. Like if you're going to compete or something of that nature, or hey, we're nailing the training and we want to make the quickest progress we can in that regard, that's perfect. Anything else there?
So it just makes, I know we're going to talk about client examples, but my client, Sarah, I'm super excited for her right now because she is in a surplus billing phase. And she has already, with me, gone through a recomp building phase. Now she's doing a different training program, and so it's a little bit different. Normally I wouldn't even have somebody do a surplus building phase, but in this case, I've seen that her training is really good. And so we'll be able to actually have like a case study, two different phases where one is a maintenance building phase, one is a surplus building phase. Yeah, with the same person. So it'll be really cool to see the changes there.
Okay. I'm excited for that too. And she's been crushing it. How long would you say this lean building phase typically lasts?
I always tell people we can stay here as long as you are going to be patient enough with me for it. Like, we'll stay here forever.
Right.
There's really until you get to a point where at least 6 months, and then beyond that, as long as possible until you want to get lean for something, basically. So it's really open-ended, in my opinion.
Absolutely. Yeah. I mean, we could say it maintenance permanently, and there's not really going to be any detriments to that as long as we're in a healthy body fat range. There's not going to be any detriments to that. Again, we can continue to make gains. I think typically what we'll see, again, probably like Sarah is a good example of that. Like, how long was she in kind of that recall phase?
She was there for, I believe it was about 9 months.
That's what I was going to say. Typically, about 9 to maybe 12 months of really, really good training, really good fueling from someone. And again, we can make some crazy progress in that time. But typically, once we've hit that, like, again, we have about a year under our belt of really effective training. And again, this is like a year of doing it very well, fueling yourself well, like 9 months to a year. Then it typically will oftentimes decide, hey, for us to continue to make progress at a pretty appreciable rate, it might be time for us to transition into a more kind of advanced building phase. Anything else to add there?
No, I don't think so.
Okay. How or what phase are clients who enter this phase typically coming from? What do you say? Is it typically like a reverse diet, fat loss phase? What's that like?
So I would say that this is typically after a fat loss phase, but how I usually treat these is we're reverse dieting into this, and and really it's sort of a continuation, and we'll even, so the, if you look at the bulk of the reverse dieting time, it might be within the first 4 weeks, but then we could push, we could continue pushing up food for the next 3 months, just very, very occasionally. So
this is almost like an extremely long reverse diet.
Yeah, exactly. Because every once in a while it's like, oh, there's an opportunity here where we're just training a little bit harder. You know, we're not really seeing shifts in body weight, which we're not looking for, but we're also now hunger is ticking up a little bit more. I think we have a little bit of an opportunity to add on these training days, for example, rather than every day of the week. And so it's hard to say an exact phase, because that's how I always treat them, is just like one long reverse diet and kind of pushing the boundaries on how much we can eat without being in a surplus.
Yeah, absolutely. Again, like that typically, I would say, yeah, it's pretty common. We're coming out of a fat loss phase, or someone is starting with us who has spent a long time trying to get lean, like trying to be in a deficit. It's almost always coming from that position. And again, the first portion is typically almost always like the first 3 to 4 weeks will be increasing calories pretty quickly to try to find someone's like true maintenance intake. And then from there, again, over time, your metabolic rate as you build more muscle is going to continue to increase. As your body gets used to eating more food and being well fueled, and metabolic adaptations reverse, and we're in a good place hormonally, right? Your body's in a more healthy, responsive place. We're burning more calories. We need more food. We'll typically see things like, hey, hunger started to creep up a little bit, or actually we saw you losing a little bit this week. We're seeing more signs that you're actually like, maybe we actually need to push food up a little bit to stay at maintenance, right? Well, almost always, I would say it's not like extremely frequent, but I think in a phase like this is not abnormal to every month, probably like once we're at like the upper end of maintenance, once we've established that, every month or so, maybe we need to add in something like 50 to 100-ish calories. 100 might be a stretch. And in like the deeper we get into this phase, typically the less increases we need to make. But especially like the first half of it, like the first 4 or 5 months, that's pretty common. Would you agree with all of that?
Yeah.
Okay.
So a good example of this is from my client, Albert, who we got started in a slight surplus based on what he was eating before. He was already super consistent with this food. So we knew exactly, like, this is what you've been maintaining on. We're going to increase it from there to build. And then once he got started, he was just training harder. And so then his hunger was creeping up and all of a sudden his weight started dropping a little bit. So we're like, okay, we're going to add a little bit more here.
Yeah. That's again, like, I think that training for fat loss isn't a good idea. Like, it's not, and that's definitely not what you guys were doing, but when you are training hard, you will be surprised at how much food we can typically eat and still maintain a good body composition. And Albert, you're also mentoring as well, which, side note, if there are any coaches out there who want to be mentored by Andrea, the smartest coach I know, shoot either of us a DM because she is taking on a couple clients in that regard also. Any other metrics of progress we're looking for here?
Like I mentioned before, we want strength to be going up over time. And that's in the compound lifts. Like, I'll tell people with lateral raises, we can use the same weight for years as long as you're pushing hard. But things like leg press, hack squat, incline presses, those kind of things should be going up. Not every week, but we should over time see them trend up. And that's a pretty good proxy for we're building muscle in combination with eating and at least maintenance. Outside of that, what other metrics of progress do you look for there?
Yeah, the training logbook is a big one. I want to see someone consistently getting stronger. And again, make sure that it really, like, the execution videos, I would honestly say, is one of the biggest ones as well, because a lot of times in a situation like this, it is that person where, hey, we're not training hard enough yet. And one of the best ways to get some that person building muscle and know that they're building muscle is get them to the point where they're training extremely hard. So those videos we review every week are such a big part of that as well. The biofeedback we mentioned, like, hey, we want hunger to be in a good place. We don't want hunger to be too terribly high. Depending on the person, there might still be some hunger present. We want energy to be in a good place, sleep to be in a good place, digestion to be in a good place. We basically want all those things to stay in a good place. And then progress pictures, we are looking for body composition to be improving over time here. It can be a little bit harder to pick out than in like a fat loss phase, but definitely easier to pick out like progress than like that advanced building phase, where realistically, a lot of times we don't see someone's like body composition, quote unquote, improve. Like, oftentimes it's, at least I know for me, like in those phases, a lot of times it's like, I just like the whole look bigger, but also look a little bit fluffier. A lot better than it used to be, actually. But within that, still in this phase, I am also really looking at progress pictures. How are things changing there? And depending on the person, I'm also looking at body measurements. Now, this is also something we kind of have to take with a grain of salt, right? Because we could look at, I'm typically looking for, how are your waist measurements changing or increasing? Are those staying the same? Are those increasing, which is typically going to be a sign, hey, we might have overshot this. Not just a single week, because there's going to be a lot of fluctuations at maintenance, like plus or minus a half to even up to like 3/4 of an inch to an inch, like especially that 2 inches below the navel mark, which will be really impacted by like bloating. So if you're on your cycle, or you just ate some different foods, or you ate later, like that can fluctuate a lot. But like looking at trends over multiple weeks, but again, typically I'm looking for that to stay similar, and again, not have deviated too far from its baseline. Like, again, we'll see like plus or minus even up to an inch fluctuations there, but not to have deviated too far from that baseline. But it also then, like, things like, okay, are your glute measurements, like, let's say building glutes are a goal, have your glute measurements increased disproportionately to so many of your other measurements? Again, take this with a grain of salt, because we can also just be adding some body fat to our glutes. But in this situation, we shouldn't be adding much body fat, if any. So that's typically a good sign. Hey, we are seeing progress there. There's so much though with the measurements that for muscle growth, I don't think they're nearly as good of a proxy for progress as fat loss. Because there's also like your glycogen stores and things of that nature. But I am still looking at those and kind of taking those in account for the complete picture. Anything else from your end that you thought of while I was talking through that?
Yeah, I'm also looking at measurements, but I find that they're just so different depending on the person. Like I'll have some people where it's like, oh yeah, waist is staying the same and we're seeing everything else go up and it's awesome. We can really tell that there are things happening. Whereas somebody else, maybe they're building a little bit of glutes, but they're also losing a little bit of body fat around their glutes and it stays the same.
Yeah.
And it's similar everywhere else. So it's just so hard to tell. And everybody's different there. There are definitely people where measurements are exactly the same. And so it looks like nothing's really happening. But then in pictures, they're looking a little bit leaner and more muscular over time. And their weights in the gym are going up. And so we know things are happening. It's just not reflecting in measurements.
I've had Karen, who was in the first round of the mentorship we did actually several years ago. With her, it was so crazy working with her. And I've had several clients like this. You were also one of those clients. Your measurements changed a little bit more, actually. Your weight like didn't hardly
move at all. My
weight didn't. And again, that was years ago where I would have, again, we've grown a lot as coaches since then. But like thinking of Karen, her weight barely changed. I think through the entirety of our process, she lost like 3 to 4 pounds. Her measurements like didn't hardly shift at all, but her body composition completely changed. She was coming from, she had her first child. She was a coach herself. She had a lot of muscle previously. She lost a lot of muscle through the pregnancy and in the postpartum period. So we saw a crazy recomp for her. Like she had abs, she was ripped by the end of it and she built a lot of muscle. She'd gotten so much stronger, but like her measurements and her weight, neither of them hardly changed at all. So there are, as you said, that's why we need these different metrics. And it's important to look at the individual rather than just like, oh, well, my measurements aren't changing, or like responding exactly like someone else's. Anything else you can think of as far as keys to success in this phase?
Patience is a big one, because just the nature of doing this at maintenance, it's going to be slower and it's going to be harder to see if there are changes being made. And you just need to rely on knowing that you're training as hard as you can and seeing the logbook progressing over time and all those other things that we talked about. But it's not a situation where, like in fat loss, where you're going to see changes in your pictures or things every single week. It's much slower.
Yeah.
So stay patient in this phase if this is the route that you're going. Keys to success, I would say just maintaining your habits, even though it's easier to get looser with things in a maintenance phase. You want to maintain the fundamental principles of, I'm still keeping my meal timing. I'm still keeping protein spacing. I am getting plenty of sleep and micronutrients and water and all those things that are easier to get lax on over time. With the nature of recomping at maintenance, you also just need to have these things dialed in order to see change. This is kind of like the hardest. Would you say this is kind of like the hardest phase to? Maybe that's not true. I don't know how I'm trying to say that or express what I'm trying to here, but you really need to have things dialed in order to see change, because you're not eating more or less food to force that change.
Yeah.
So these other things are going to be important. I've really fumbled all that up, but do you know what I'm saying?
I think I got what you're saying. I can kind of unravel that. Yeah.
Thank
so
you.
Within this, and again, like I wouldn't necessarily think of food as like a way we can force change, because again, without the training stimulus, we won't like change regardless. Well, we can force body fat change, but we won't necessarily force change.
But if you're
under
eating, you're going to see body fat loss.
That's a great point. Yes. So if we're not doing a good job fueling ourselves, which we can do at maintenance very well, then it will be harder to train hard, to recover well, to give your body the resources it needs to actually build muscle tissue, which again, that will be harder in deficit. I think when it comes to, and again, I think typically how this goes is really for the first couple months in a phase like this, you won't see much progress. You won't see much change. Building muscle takes time. Really, before we actually can see appreciable muscle growth, it typically takes something like 1 to 2 months. And typically how this goes is those first couple months, you might not see much progress in your physique, in your physique shots. Weight probably won't be changing much. You might not think it like you look much leaner. It'll typically be things like, I feel great, I'm training hard, the logbook is progressing consistently. And then typically somewhere in that 2 to 3 month into this process range is where someone is really hitting the point where they are training hard. They're also very good at executing the movements that we put in place for them well. And again, if you're training, that's typically where people kind of hit the tipping point with their training. And also, again, by this time, you will have started to actually like have accrued appreciable muscle mass to the point where it'll start to be more visible. Then after that, oftentimes we'll see like, I do think this is where it kind of starts to hit a tipping point where it's like, oh, wow, suddenly, damn, there's a big change in your physique. And we're starting to see things change a little bit quicker. And you're starting to notice more changes. And then people pick up a lot more momentum from there. And then that like training is truly in a great place. And again, we string together more and more months of that. After that, I think we typically start to see like more and more changes, but it does definitely take time. And that is important with like, we do still have to have these variables dialed in, right? Like if you're consistently falling back into under-eating, it will be slower. I think that again, when we're looking at like the different phases, I think that like from a physical perspective, we'll always see the quickest progress in a fat loss phase, right? Because we can lose like 1 to 2 pounds of fat in a week. At a maintenance build, it'll be a little bit slower, but we can still see like that muscle that we're building as we're not gaining body fat during this phase. We can see like more recomposition, which isn't quick, but will be quicker. Versus I think in that like advanced building phase, that surplus building phase, when we're actually often adding some fat tissue, again, like sometimes it might be like, yes, I can tell I'm stronger, I feel good, but almost my body composition looks a little bit worse, I'm a little bit fluffier, and you don't really see the fruits of your labor until after that phase. So I think that's really the one that takes the most like delayed gratification. But definitely like here, like especially if you're only used to fat loss, that patience is so important because it will be a lot slower, right? Whereas in fat loss, 8 to 12 weeks in, most people would expect to have made a lot of progress. 8 to 12 weeks in, oftentimes in this phase is where we're really just starting to hit our stride. And that's just, again, Understanding muscle growth is slower. It also just takes time to build momentum. This is oftentimes a brand new skill set that we're kind of trying to pick up. Is that kind of what you were trying to say?
Yeah, that's a much better way of saying all of the word jumbles that I
got you, Angie. Any client example that you want to wrap this up with? I know you already threw a couple out there.
Yeah. The couple that I talked about were good examples there. Man, it seems like I actually have more people in an advanced building phase right now than I do a maintenance building phase. So I don't know if I have one that jumps out at me right now.
Okay.
Which is weird because normally I have way more people at maintenance building than, than a surplus.
You have quite a few clients who have already kind of gone through that phase with. You have a lot of long-term clients who are kind of at that advanced building phase point now. All right, so let's get into the advanced building phase. Again, when we're building in a surplus, I think we can make this one a little bit quicker as we've already kind of touched on a lot of the points. But talk us through, what is this?
Well, now we're building muscle with a slight surplus. So I know on the last one, I kind of talked a little bit too much into the things that we were going into. So I don't know how much detail you want on this, but basically just building in a surplus.
Yeah. We're probably going to see again, a little bit of body fat gain. We've already talked about this so much that I don't want to beat a dead horse. We're probably going to see a little bit of body fat gain. We are also going to be in a surplus. Again, muscle protein synthesis will be a little bit more elevated. So for the quickest gains, probably slightly more ideal. But again, a lot of times the pros don't outweigh the cons for a lot of people. And again, it's kind of minor percentage points when we're trying to capitalize on everything versus, hey, more so just lifestyle focused. And I'm okay with like maybe this being slightly slower. What do you think makes someone a good fit for this type of building phase?
This is someone who's a little bit more advanced, someone who has done the maintenance building phases in the past and they've kind of tapped out their potential there. And now we do want those little extra percentage points that we're going after.
Absolutely. Biofeedback markers, anything different outside of what we already talked about with the lean building phases?
I was going to say these are the same as they are for really, they're the same for maintenance building. They're the same for fat loss. Like we want digestion, energy, adherence. We want that to all be in a good place.
Absolutely. Okay. As far as who might not be a good fit for this, again, I would really say if you don't fall into that description as far as who is a good fit for this, probably not a good fit for this. Is there anything else you would add there?
We talked about like already having a little bit more body fat than they would like. If you are continuing to gain a little bit of body fat, even though we're probably gaining muscle faster than we're gaining body fat, it's still just going to not do great things for your insulin sensitivity and P ratio. So you would want to start out being decently lean in order to get into this phase. That's pretty much it, except for the things that we've already touched on.
Okay. Okay. So what do you say clients who typically enter this phase are coming from a fat loss phase?
For mine, most of them are. Because like you said, yeah, they're longer term clients. We've already most of the time done builds at maintenance. I have had a rare person like my client Nora. She got started immediately in a build phase, in a surplus build phase. But she was already training really hard. And we did start out with a week or two of just not really changing up her nutrition too much and then building her calories up from there. Because you just really want to make sure that training is in a good spot. But yeah, for the most part, I would say people are coming out of a deficit. And then again, just like that maintenance surplus, or sorry, maintenance build phase, we want to treat it like a longer reverse diet. But in this case, we just take it further so that we're in a surplus.
Yeah, yeah, absolutely. And Nora's a great example of that. Actually, someone else who you're mentoring, where she is a coach herself, she's definitely a lot more advanced. Again, kind of that rare exception where her training was already in a very good place to start. What rate of gain are we typically looking to or expecting to see here? And that's one of the key differences where we are oftentimes looking for a more consistent rate of gain versus the other building phase.
Yes. So I don't have a lot of specific expectations for rate of gain. I just, in this phase, want there to be a rate of gain. So it's almost just like a little bit further on the spectrum than that maintenance building phase where I said, like, in some cases we might see just a really slow long-term scale creep where it's literally like in 9 months we added like 3 or 4 pounds. But in this case, I would want it a little bit quicker than that, but I don't have a specific expectation. So maybe 1 pound a month, maybe 2 pounds a month. I really just want things to be dialed in and for them to feel good and their pictures still be in a pretty good spot, feeling strong. And beyond that, the scale is just kind of going to do what it's going to do. Now, if somebody's gaining 1 pound a week, like I haven't, then I'm going to slow that down because there is such a thing as seeing too fast there. And if that's consistent over a period of time, then that's just a little bit too fast because you can't force feed muscle. And at some point you're going to be gaining as muscle at the fastest rate that you're going to. And everything beyond that is going to be body fat.
Absolutely. Okay. Yeah, that's, again, I'm never too attached to like the 0.5 to 1% of body weight rate gain per week. I think that's pretty damn quick
per month.
But it's more so. Yeah, no. I'm not referring to what you said, but rather like a lot of times what you would hear about building phases in the past was like 0.5 to 1% of body weight gain per week. That's very, very aggressive. Where, as you said, I'm typically just looking for, hey, if it's been like 4 to 6 weeks and weight really hasn't moved up, we'll probably bump things. But on the flip side, if we're progressing well, we're seeing you get stronger, body composition is a good spot. And again, like all your biofeedback. What's that?
You feel well fed.
Right. You feel well fed, training performance, recovery, motivation to train, your pumps, like all those things are in a good place. I'm not often going to force this up. Again, if it's been like, hey, it's been a pretty good stretch here and we haven't seen much increase at all, we do want to see the scale slowly increasing over time. So, hey, maybe we're going to bump it up a little bit, but I'm not too attached to a specific rate of gain there either. Any good client examples of this type of phase?
Yeah. So the ones that I already mentioned, I've got Sarah, Albert, and Nora. They're all three in a surplus building phase. And so with them, it's basically like you just said, we're looking for that creep up on the scale over time. And eventually that starts to slow. And whenever that slowdown starts to happen, or they see a dip down, then we'll add a little bit more food to keep that going.
Absolutely. Yeah. Again, it's typically going to be like Those are, with those examples you mentioned, two of them are coaches themselves who you're already mentoring, who have already coached a lot of other people. So they're typically going to be a lot more advanced. And then a client who you'd already taken through like the first type of building phase, who's been working with you for well over a year. But it's almost always going to be that more advanced type of client, which brings us to, again, like, as we've referenced several times, when we're talking about which type of building phase we use more frequently with clients, it's definitely the first, again, that lean building phase, at least a starter, right? That's almost always like the first. I don't know if it's necessarily more frequently, because a lot of people will eventually end up going through that advanced, but almost always, like, people are a much better candidate for that first type initially. Again, typically because we might not have added a lot of muscle yet. Training might not have been in a great place yet. We can typically see very good gains just at maintenance, and it doesn't necessarily make as much sense for us to push into that more advanced phase. Anything else to add there, or any differing thoughts?
I don't think so.
Okay. Before we get into the couple of listener questions, anything else you wanted to add on either of those types of building phases?
So I think that just anybody that's been kind of scared or nervous to get into a build phase, start out just making sure that all of those things that we listed, like training, biofeedback, are really dialed in. And then I honestly think at maintenance, it's so helpful to have a coach take you through that, or even in the surplus building phase too. Mm-hmm. Either way, it's so helpful to have a coach take you through that, because like you said, we have had a lot of people who say like, oh, I thought I was training really hard before, but really there was so much left on the table. But aside from that, like get into that maintenance building phase and start to really push things there. And that's a lot easier mentally, like lower, what am I trying to say? Like lower stakes way of getting into a build phase. Yeah. And then once you go through that phase and go through maybe a fat loss phase later on, then eventually you can try that surplus phase after that.
That's a great point too. There's, when it comes to, again, like body composition and the amount of muscle versus fat that we're adding, there's a lot more room for error at maintenance, right? Where if there's a week where your training isn't perfect, or we're still improving that, we're not going to like, oh, wow. Or a month. It's not, oh, wow, like I gained a lot of body fat and I didn't gain any muscle or anything of the sort. It's just cool. We're at maintenance. It's not a big deal. We'll continue to improve here. I think that's a really good way to put that. So finally, let's dig into a couple listener questions we got that were kind of relevant to this. How do you know if you should be in a surplus, and what body fat percentage? We answered this pretty well with like, how do you know if you should be in a surplus? Again, it's kind of determining where are you coming from. When we talk through who's a good fit for that lean building phase versus that advanced building phase, again, unless you are someone who is, hey, you've already been training well for a long period of time, you've already built a lot of muscle, probably would start in that lean building phase. And as far as the body fat percentages go, I mean, we kind of talked through this in the first episode as well. But again, probably somewhere between about 16 to 25% body fat for most women would be a good place for this. Again, not that it's necessarily like there are situations where, hey, maybe we've already been in fat loss for a long period of time and we want to use this maintenance building phase to kind of give us like a 3 to 4 month to 6 month break from fat loss before we get back into it. We still have further to go. And maybe we went from like 40% body fat to 30% body fat or something of the sort, right? But typically, hey, maybe we want to be a little bit lower than that before we start this phase. That said, I would say if you're someone who's already been trying to lose body fat for a very long period of time and it seems like it just hasn't been happening, I would probably go this route versus, okay, I'm going to try to continue to grind out fat loss until I get there. Any other thoughts on that?
Not really. I feel like we covered it pretty thoroughly talking through the points.
Okay. How much does a surplus help with increasing weights? What if you can't push hard enough?
This is very similar to the question last week.
There were a couple very similar questions.
Yeah, I feel like it's not going to help if I eat more. And really just, you have to try it. You have to try it to see, because it's easy for us to sit here and say like, well, yeah, I mean, if you're eating in a surplus, you're going to have more energy for your training, but you don't really know until you go experience it. And I think that training hard enough is an essential component of that, because like we talked about recently, if you are at a certain percentage of your rep max for a movement, it's going to feel hard whether you add 10 pounds or you stay where you're at. And so if you're not pushing to failure, you could end up just staying where you're at because it still feels hard. Whereas if you're pushing to failure each time, it's very clear, like, oh, I added a rep or two here, or I didn't. Mm-hmm. Does that make sense?
Yeah.
So if you're pushing it to failure, then it just really becomes super apparent. Like, okay, that increase in food very directly helped me add some reps here in a place that I was stuck prior.
Yeah, no, that's a great way to put it. Again, and if you're afraid of this, I would probably start in a maintenance building phase where, again, if you're not able to push hard enough for a couple of weeks, then you will still see great progress, or you won't gain body fat, right? But by us taking the time to transition to that, again, like before we transition into that next type of building phase, it would be a good idea to make sure hard training is in a good place. But again, like, more food doesn't necessarily make it easy to train, right? Hard training is always going to feel hard. It's called hard training because it's hard, right? But you will have a little bit more in the tank. It will be easier to push a little bit harder. It's almost like you'll have more fuel source to tap into when it does start to feel hard. All right. I think that is a good place for us to wrap it up. As always, thank you guys for tuning in. Next week, we will be talking through optimizing nutrition and hormones for your building phase, really get into your nutrition setup for this type of phases. If you would like to apply to work with us, you want to be guided through a building phase, just click the link in the show notes, and we will catch you guys next time.